straight and listen. I suspect what my brand is.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is Monday, June the 11th, 2018. I was going to say 1958. I was born in 1958 on this day. My poor itty-bitty tiny little mother had to give birth to my gigantic body and head. And now I'm sure she's in heaven and she is sanctified as a result of that. I am 60 years old today. So officially, Carl Lenore 60, death zero. I'm winning. I like winning. And we have a great show planned today. There are a few people that I like to have on the show the way I like to have Joel Green on the show. And we're going to get into it in a minute because Joel Green and I are like two kids with ideas instead of toys. And we can literally, this is a stream of consciousness show. We're going to probably touch on a lot of things once we get going. I have to, of course, always thank Dr. Jeff Galini and All American Pharmaceutical and EFX Sports for their generous title sponsorship contribution they make to this show every single month. They make sure that this show stays alive no matter what. Right now, you can get six of their top-selling products absolutely free. You do have to pay $5 and change for shipping, but it's legitimately the shipping charge. If you go to superhumanradio.net and click the EFX Sports banner ad, there's lots of them, put in your information. Try these products, make a decision before you buy them whether or not you like them, because Dr. Jeff believes that no one should have to buy anything unless they know it's going to work, and he puts his money where his mouth is. Joel Green, how you doing, man?
Hey, Carl, I'm doing great, man, and I'm happy to be the first guy on air to wish you happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. I was texting with Anthony Roberts this morning. I said, Anthony, when I die, I want you to post somewhere my final age and versus death one, you know, one. And I'm hoping that it's like 80, Carl 80, death one. And he promised me today that he will do that. And so I have him keeping score for me once I'm gone.
I'm sure the number's going to be 100.
You know what? I feel so good. I trained back this morning and, you know, I don't want to brag. I mean, I'm 60 years old, and I guess I'm not supposed to be doing this, but I'm doing it, man. It's because in my head, I'm not 60. In my head, I'm not 60. I'm still that 22-year-old kid, you know, who moved out to Las Vegas. And so I'm happy. I'm very happy. I'm very happy. And really, I'm writing a blog. I want to just throw this out there because, Joel, you're going to love this. So I thought to myself, what a neat bookend to a life it would be to die on your birthday, right? Carl Lenore, June 11th, 1958, you know, June 11th, some number in the future, some year in the future. I thought, man, wouldn't that be cool on your tombstone? And then I thought to myself, wouldn't it be cool if you knew you were going to die on your birthday, but just you didn't know which birthday? How would you live differently every single year? Would you waste your time doing the things you're currently doing? Or would you say, this could be the year. I'm going to die on my birthday some year. I don't know which year. How would you modify your life? And not only that, the day after your birthday, would you dread looking forward like, oh, great, another year of torture? Or would you think to yourself, I just killed last year. I'm going to kill this year now. I mean, wouldn't it be an amazing phenomenon if you knew you were going to die on your birthday, but just didn't know which birthday? You would probably be so much happier with life, because being happy with your life is a choice. I love this saying. Life is not about waiting for the storm to pass. It's learning about it's about learning to dance in the rain. And what it basically means is, if you look at your life and love everything in it, you win. You win. So,
wow, that gets me thinking. Here we go.
Here we go down that hole. Yeah.
Yep. Here we. you and I, it just gets me thinking about how, you know, there's really only a few fundamental powers you have in life. You number one, you have the power to think. That's like the most basic power you have. And then you have the power to choose. And you have the power to love. And you have the power, you know, just a very few basic things that we have. And from those things, everything comes. Everything comes from those. In every moment, you're doing all three, all four of those things.
Yeah. 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 I think there's something to that. I really do. So let's get on the topic that people really want to hear about. You know, so I started opening up this can of worms about vitamin B6, and I've come to the conclusion from the research I've read that the probability is more people have, they're getting too much B6 in their diet. They're not drinking enough water. They're not urinating enough of it out. It's staying around, and it's actually compromising their nervous system. To what degree? Well, maybe they're aging faster. Or maybe they have true neuropathy or neural pathologies occurring. And that's kind of where I started with the B6. And then I thought, well, who can I talk to that understands B6 metabolism? And you and I started talking. And the next thing we're on, like, well, that is nitric oxide. It's like, oh, my God. So this is a stream of consciousness show. We're going to start off with B6 metabolism. But I'm telling you, once Joel gets running, it's all these other tangential things that come into play that you can't ignore. And we're going to talk about everything from cancer and nitric oxide and neuropathologies, but we're going to start with B6 metabolism. So talk about B6 just topically. Give me a 30,000-foot view of your observations about B6 and the excessive fortification of our foods today.
Well, the thing with B6, so first of all, B6 is it's a coenzyme, and we need it in a lot of very important different types of reactions in the body. So it's involved in what are called transaminase reactions. That's just a big word for transamino, meaning amino acids being produced in the body. We need it for that. We need it for growth. You need it to make proteins. So it's involved with methionine and the production of proteins. And so, you know, it's very, very important. But the really interesting thing about it is the nature of how it's sort of self-regulating. And it seems to be a homeostatic vitamin, meaning that wherever we see B6, it's really about having just enough, but not too little and not too much.
Right.
And particularly in the brain. It's involved in GABA metabolism in the brain, and you can really sort of
that's interesting. Wait a minute. Stop for a second. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
This is an interesting topic, right? So what are the so a lot of people who suffer from B6 toxicity, they suffer, some of the early signs are the hands and they call gloves and socks, the hands and feet. Neural sensations. Isn't it interesting that when you take large doses of GABA, 5 grams and above, you get that same numbness in your hands and feet for a period of time? I wonder if the B6 equals neural sensations in hands and feet has more to do with the effect on the GABA pathway than actual storage in the nerves in the hands and feet.
Well, it's, you know, B6 can be very tissue specific. It's also important to remember that B6 functions as a very important cell signaling molecule, and it's very much involved with cell death. It's very much involved
apoptosis.
In signaling cell.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. And the interesting paradox of vitamin B6 is that we see the exact same effects in both B6 deficiency and B6 excess. You see the exact same thing. So studies with diabetics, for example, have shown that neuropathy and conditions of neuropathy were improved by supplementing B6. And conversely, in people with normal metabolism, you see the exact same thing in reverse.
Now, is that I can't believe diabetics aren't getting enough B6 in their diet. Is there something to do with insulin and B6 storage, or do you think that what's going on with the diabetic individual and B6 specifically?
Well, there's a very interesting phenomenon about B6, which is that it seems to be excessively catabolized wherever we find inflammation, meaning that you can actually have normal intake of B6, but if you've got some form of chronic inflammation somewhere, then you're going to actually be running through vitamin B6 and actually operating at a deficiency, even though you're taking in what would look to be adequate amounts of B6 intake.
Interesting.
So B6 and inflammation tend to go together. And what we see with B6 is that it seems to have a self-regulating mechanism with it. So you've got the inactive form, so you've got pyroxidine, and then you've got the form that's most present in the blood, which is the phospholuriated form, which is pyroxidyl 5-phosphate. And what you see is with excess B6, the inactive form basically outcompetes the active form, and you wind up with the same symptoms of deficiency, even though you're having an excess of B6.
So this is interesting, because there are so many people out there who have been using a product like 5-Hour Energy, which has fairly high amounts of B6 HCL, pyridoxine HCL, which is like 40 milligrams a dose. They develop neuropathies. And so it could simply be that it's just displacing the B6 they need.
Yeah, you very much. What's interesting with B6, there's very good evidence that taking excess supplemental amounts of B6 can rapidly induce neuropathy. I mean, and the amounts that I've seen in the research, it tends to be somewhere in the range of 500-600%. Of the amount of B6 you actually need, but that's not a lot. That's the thing.
I want to address something right now, right? Because a lot of people will hear this and think B vitamins are water soluble. I don't have to worry about this because I'm going to urinate them out. But if you are taking, if you're eating foods that are fortified, and then on top of that you're taking a B complex, and then you have a 5-Hour Energy every day, and plus you're eating foods, just about everything in our food supply has B6 in it. You could be taking in 80 milligrams of B6 a day and only urinating out 30 milligrams, and you have a net accumulation every single day of 50 milligrams over the course of months. You could actually be in trouble rather quickly. Would you agree with that assertion?
Well, it's a very interesting question. Your question gets to what would be considered to be plasma clearance of vitamin B6, and so B6 has a half-life. The half-life seems to be a few weeks, and so B6 tends to be excreted in the urine, but the primary reservoir of B6 will be the plasma levels, and then plasma clearance of PLP can drop off after a few weeks, but it takes a few weeks to clear out.
But doesn't B6 get stored in muscle tissue? That's why when we eat a steak, we get B6 from that steak. There's a lot in it.
Yeah, the muscle is the primary repository of tissue B6. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And so yeah. Do you really think it's okay? Let's talk about neuropathology just for a second to clarify, right? So what I've discovered when it comes to these types of symptoms is either hyperalgesia or demyelination. I had a girl on the show, Beth Smirzik. She said that there's good research out there that shows that B6 causes small fiber polyneuropathy. These small fibers are actually the ends of the neurons that are supposed to sense things. So they don't have myelin on them. They're bare for sensation purposes. So do you think, is there any evidence, anything that you've seen that would lead you to believe that we have true demyelination and axonal degradation in excessive B6, or is it hyperalgesia? Is the B6 just overstimulating the nerves? Because eventually they get numb. When you overstimulate a nerve, eventually it stops signaling.
My own theory on this, first of all, to answer your question, I think excess excitatory activity might be the culprit.
Yeah.
That's just my guess.
Me too. Go ahead.
The other thing with B6 to think about is, so we know that it's highly involved in inflammation, and we know that over-supplementation of B6 will mimic a deficiency of B6. And we see B6 deficiency with inflammation. And wherever we see inflammation, we see nitric oxide. We see nitric oxide and its byproducts, peroxynitrate. So I think that there, particularly when it comes to energy drinks, I think that what we're seeing is sort of like a perfect storm.
Yeah.
Where you're seeing the elements of B6 oversupplementation, which mimic deficiency, and then you've got all these other sort of pro-inflammatory mediators in energy drinks, where you're spinning up nitric oxide chronically, and then that creates kind of this environment where you're seeing a lot of complications. But the real issue is that you're getting excess production of nitric oxide.
Yeah, it's interesting you say this, because a lot of the research I read about about hyperalgesia and demyelination implicate two molecules as causing them to progress rapidly, and that was nitric oxide and epinephrine.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a perfect storm, as you point out. You have something that is going to spin up nitric oxide, but also you have caffeine that's going to turn on the production of these. Are they considered monoamine? Epinephrine and norepinephrine and these adrenal hormones that are designed for the fight or flight mechanism. So you're right. These two molecules have been implicated on actually damaging myelin as well as stimulating hyperalgesia. That's interesting.
Well, that would be sort of a subset of a much bigger problem, which is the production of nitric oxide. That gets into a really big discussion, which is what we would call redox signaling. And there's a lot of, it really has not been adequately addressed. There's a couple of different schools of thought that are starting to bubble up. One is kind of the molecular hydrogen and, you know, Tyler and, you know, that whole school of thought. But really, I don't think what anybody has done is adequately addressed what's going on when we're looking at free radical production, nitric oxide, superoxide, where these things happen, what's important, what's not important. And to kind of take it at a high level, so nitric oxide is very important. One of the most important things that nitric oxide does is it just regulates oxygen consumption. And the way it does that is in the electron transport chain, it competes with oxygen to bind to complex 4 or cytochrome C oxidase. And so when it outcompetes oxygen in complex 4, then it's able to regulate the production of oxygen. And that's a normal physiological function. Now, nitric oxide on its own is pretty innocuous. It really doesn't do any damage on its own. But the real problem has to do with the presence of nitric oxide and superoxide at the same time. And so we need to look at, well, why would superoxide be present with nitric oxide? So the first thing to understand is that there is no need for an enzyme for nitric oxide and superoxide to catalyze each other. So that's the fastest reaction that we know of. So normally with superoxide, which is produced as you're going down the electron transport chain, you'll have oxygen, you'll have superoxide produced. Normally that's reduced with superoxide dismutase, but that requires a reaction between the two. And when nitric oxide is present with superoxide, it always outcompetes superoxide dismutase. And the bastard stepchild of that is what's called peroxynitrate. And peroxynitrate is there's absolutely nothing good about it. It is the most damaging free radical in the body, sort of at a meta level. And from peroxynitrate, you can go down tissue by tissue and reaction by reaction. Just really, for the most part, nothing good comes from that. And that's really the issue, is when you have excess nitric oxide. What happens is when nitric oxide is produced in excess in the mitochondria, then what you get is a rapid production of peroxynitrate. Mm. And peroxynitrate is just incredibly damaging. When you have pro-inflammatory conditions like chronic, kind of low-grade chronic inflammation, and at the same time you have production of superoxide, then what you can get is a million-fold increase in the production of peroxynitrate. And so that gets interesting. So if you look at it in the brain, for example, the brain can make nitric oxide for 80-plus years, and you have no problems whatsoever. But then you get a brain injury, and within a few minutes, you get irreversible damage. And that comes really from the excess production of peroxynitrate.
Mm. Okay, I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about two things. B6 metabolism, how does it actually get used up if your goal is to deplete muscle stores of B6? And what can we do to avoid the damage that could potentially be done from peroxynitrate? Because, you know, everybody's taking super beets and all these nitric oxide donors today, especially pre-workouts, when you're actually stimulating some form of inflammation. Let's talk about those two topics when we come back. If you want to harness Joel Green's brain for your own selfish purposes so that you can be ripped and strong at any age, his website is Veep, VEEP.com. It's been featured on the Dr. Phil Show. He teaches people how to eat with specific goals in mind, and he takes all of the thought out of it. He truly creates a real meal template, plate by plate. His website is amazing. It will teach you how to eat better. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieved their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes. The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to WildWestNutrition.com or click the banner ad at SuperHumanRadio.net.
Who ever heard of a supplement company that lets you pick the products they make and sell? What you have now, we are All American Body, a factory direct supplement brand proudly brought to you by All American Pharmaceutical. Don't pay more somewhere else. You can get the same or even better products directly from us. Now check this out. All American Body is a brand about you. Tell us what to make next so you can save big. Go ahead and request a specific ingredient. You know, arginine, citrulline, vitamin D, a product type or category, keto, greens, naturals, herbals, nootropics, and even a specific specific brand of product or formula. We'll either copy it exactly or make it even better. And best of all, it won't cost anything close to what you've been paying, period. And if we do end up using your suggestion, you'll get the first bottle absolutely free. We'll also give you full credit on that product's description page. You'll be famous signing autographs and people asking you to take pictures with them wherever you go. So head on over to allamericanbody.com right now. That's allamericanbody.com and make your product request today. All American Body. Crazy savings, insane results.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Kana banner ad today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to the birthday special of Superhuman Radio today with Joel Green from Veep, VEEP.com. You know, nutrition doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be a mystery, but you do have to learn. And the best place to learn how to do it right is at Veep.com. So, Joel. Whoa, did I lose you?
Nope.
Okay, good. I hear a little echo coming back at me. We'll get rid of that. So, let's start off with B6 metabolism. If I told you, Joel Green, I want to deplete all as much of the B6 in my muscles as possible. What would you have me do?
The first thing I would have you do is, so the number one consideration with B6 would be supplementation, because supplementation of B6 can rapidly and dramatically affect you, and it can affect you in a negative way. So the first thing would just be looking at how much B6 you're taking in. So if you're taking in 5-hour energy, kind of maybe stop that. If you are, you know, you're eating 6 bowls of breakfast cereal every day, maybe cut back to 1. But supplementation would be a big deal. So it seems that vitamin B6 clears out in the urine. It begins to clear out within a couple of weeks. So really just stopping the excess intake of vitamin B6 would sort of be the number one thing that you want to look at. The other thing with B6 is that when you are supplementing with B6, you quickly reach sort of a point where the excess, most of the excess, 96%, just gets excreted in the urine anyway. The research I've seen is after about 10 days, you'll reach kind of a max load of B6, and then everything else is just going in the urine. But some of the research I've seen seems to indicate that it could be as much as 2 months to clear it out of tissues when right. You have sort of an excess of it. So it's really just cutting down the excess B6 intake is the number one thing to do.
Okay, so, and I agree with you there. But do you think that, what are your opinions of, I continue to eat a lot of beef and pork, and they have B6 in them. Is that B6 different? Is that the P5P form of B6, and is that okay to eat?
Yeah, that's a great question. And your question gets to there are different forms of B6 in different tissues. So the form of B6 that is stored in the muscle is slightly different from the form that is that is in the serum. And that would be a really good one. I'm not quite sure if you're taking in meat sources, if that form of B6 is the muscle form or just the peroxidine form. So that would be something I have to look at.
Okay. We'll move past that. That's cool.
I don't think that your dietary sources, just from a normal diet, I don't think that's really what you need to worry about. And again, the issue with B6 really is just that it really seems to be a homeostatic vitamin. Like what we see, there's clear issues with B6 deficiency that are replicated with B6 excess. So it's really just about not getting too little or too much. And dietarily speaking, a normal diet should provide you all you need. I wouldn't worry about the dietary sources.
B6 is said to be a reactor in the muscles converting both amino acids and glucose into glycogen. Is that correct, or am I incorrect about that?
No. So when you're talking transaminase reactions, what you see is that B6 is involved in those reactions, and so when you look at those types of reactions, those are things that are involved with metabolism and, conversion of in the liver for oxoacylate, alpha-ketoglutarate, and nitrogen disposal. And so it plays a big role in glutamate and nitrogen disposal and the production of proteins. So B6 is very important in that.
So if I wanted to deplete B6, would training fasted improve the utilization of B6? Is B6 a suicide type of a molecule that once it's used, it converts to something else and it's excreted, or does it get recycled back to B6? I'm trying to understand, train fasted, drink lots of water, the actual steps that would be favorable to deplete intramuscular B6 stores.
Well, and so when you look at making amino acids and B6, what it does in that process. So essentially, how it functions is you've got pyroxyl phosphate, and it basically acts like a bucket. It acts like a place where you park amino groups temporarily. And then what happens in that process is that pyroxyl phosphate gets converted into pyroxamine phosphate, and then it gets converted back into pyroxyl phosphate. So it's reversible.
Okay. Let's talk about the peroxide of the peroxide version of nitric oxide. So how can we leverage the benefits of nitric oxide, which is vasodilation and some other supposed benefits as a backup for oxygen to the heart, but avoid the peroxide form?
So with nitric oxide, there's a couple things. So first of all, there's three types of nitric oxide. The first is called inducible nitric oxide, and this is primarily what we find inducible. It's called inducible because this is what you see in your vasodilator type nitric oxide, and it's called high output nitric oxide. You'll see it with inflammation, and it's not affected by intracellular calcium. So this is kind of what you see with your Viagra, things like that. And then you have what I would call brain nitric oxide, ENOS, and this is calcium dependent. One of the interesting things about that is your brain actually makes more nitric oxide, up to 20 times more than all of your vascular tissue. So that's sort of an interesting property of that. And then you have nitric oxide from where we get, which produces citrulline, and then from that you get arginine, and then that's cycled out in urea. So you've got three different types of nitric oxide. The important thing to know about nitric oxide is that on its own, it's primarily a signaling molecule. It's a signaling molecule not based on its shape, but based on how much of it's there. Mm. And it's involved in guanine metabolism and cGMP, cyclic guanidine. The thing about nitric oxide really has to do with the presence of superoxide. And when superoxide and nitric oxide are present, that's never a good thing. And so when we look at, well, why would superoxide be present? Superoxide is present typically when there's some kind of an infection or when there is a hypoxia. And so those are the things that we have to look at.
Doesn't nitric oxide, now, okay, nitric oxide is a stress-related gas. Doesn't nitric oxide actually induce hypoxia to a certain degree by displacing oxygen?
It regulates the production of oxygen. It's not necessarily a stress gas.
Okay.
You can think of nitric oxide sort of as a regulatory, as a signal molecule. We see nitric oxide, for example, like after a workout, you're gonna have greater nitric oxide production after a workout, and you should. And that's why you don't want to take antioxidants after a workout, because you're going to interfere with nitric oxide production.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So how do you leverage nitric oxide? Do you, like, I use L-citrulline pre-workout. I have to believe that I'm not harming myself by doing that, but I could be wrong. How do you leverage nitric oxide where it has benefits? And would taking something like exogenous glutathione, I take a glutathione supplement late in the afternoon. Does that help with the reactive oxygen species?
Boy, great question. I'll just give you kind of my own personal opinion on that. So the fitness industry is really coming to this place of thinking that, you know, you want to keep nitric oxide stimulated and that's a good thing. I'm of the opposing opinion that it's really not a good thing at all when you look at it. Around a workout, I think it's fine. But apart from that, I really try and keep nitric oxide to a minimum for the most part, particularly during sleep, around your sleep cycle.
Mm.
Like, you don't want to be making a lot of nitric oxide during sleep unless you're getting adequately oxygenated, which is kind of a whole other topic. But long story short, you just don't want to have hypoxia during sleep for a number of reasons. It's probably your number one cancer promoter, just having hypoxia during sleep. And nitric oxide, elevated nitric oxide levels during sleep with hypoxia is super bad. The other part of your question really gets to, like, kind of the ultimate antioxidant strategy and, you know, what do we do? And so there's different schools of thought. The old school of thought was that, well, you had the three big enzymes. You had glutathione peroxidase, you had superoxide dismutase, you had catalase, and those were the three that you really needed. And then you had the one bad free radical, which was the hydroxyl radical. And so what the hydroxyl radical is a free radical that is mediated by iron, and it's really involved sort of in light or radiation type reactions where light penetrates the skin. Well, what we know once we start looking at nitric oxide is that none of that really is what we need to worry about. And it's really kind of a complete rethink of everything. So when we look at nitric oxide and we look at the downstream derivatives of that, we find that there's peroxynitrate. Peroxynitrate really does lots of bad things in different kinds of tissues, and it produces another free radical that's really never talked about. And that free radical, called the carbonyl radical, that does a lot of the same damage that the hydroxyl radical does, but it's more selective and much more damaging. When you're looking at free radicals, the thing you have to understand is the blast radius. So and what I mean by that is the diffusion radius, like how far do these things go?
Right.
So the hydroxyl radical, the blast radius of that is about the size of a protein. It's infinitesimal. And it reacts with everything. So in the body, the ability of the hydroxyl radical to do damage is not nearly as great as other types of radicals that are produced as downstream sort of free radicals coming from peroxynitrate, which came from nitric oxide. And then when we look at, well, how do we neutralize these things. You know, kind of the old school of thought was, well, we just need glutathione, we just need that stuff. But the thing with glutathione, or the thing with catalase, is these all require, like catalase needs selenium, glutathione peroxidase, it's selenium dependent. There's a new class of antioxidants called peroxoredoxins. And the peroxoredoxins are very, very fascinating. They seem to neutralize peroxynitrate, and they seem to be involved in just about everything. They seem to be involved in extending lifespan. They seem to be involved in cancer. They seem to be involved in mostly a lot of good ways in terms of scavenging the worst effects of peroxynitrate.
Very interesting. We have to take a break. This is moving very fast. I want to come back. You used the C word, cancer.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about cancer when we come back and its relationship to nitric oxide. And this is something that I've read before. It's not new to me, but it may be new to a lot of other people, because I don't think a lot of people understand that keeping nitric oxide stimulated all the time can actually allow cancers to thrive and give them a good environment to grow in. And I'd like to understand how that works. We're talking with Joel Green. His website is veep.com. We'll be right back with more.
Thrive Market wants to give you $60 in free organic products of your choice, plus free shipping, just to get you to check them out. Over 4,000 organic products to choose from, and up to 50% off all their products. And shopping at Thrive Market is more convenient than anywhere else. Order online or on their app in minutes, day or night, and get everything delivered right to your door. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Thrive Market banner ad and get your $60 in free organic foods and free shipping today.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm, and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you
you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Yo, man. Yo. Open up, man.
What do you want, man? I got a lot of people listening to the show live telling me that the stream sounds terrible. I just listened to it. It does. It's not coming from the studio. I just tried disconnecting and reconnecting the stream. We must have some sort of a problem. The stream going from our studio up to our main server in Toronto, where it's then broadcast from. It sounds like it's clipping. I'm just want to see something. Hold on a second. Let me see something. Nah, it still sounds bad. I apologize. Those of you who are listening live, you're going to have to listen to the podcast. That's all I can tell you. There's nothing I can do about this one here. I will email our server people up at our data center to try to figure out what's going on. We're talking with Joel Green. We've been talking about redox signaling. We've been talking about nitric oxide. Joel brought up the word cancer and why hypoxia at night is a bad idea. We have a lot of people suffering from hypoxia at night because there's a lot of people in the population today that have obstructive sleep apnea. I have a good friend who's a few years older than me that just had a heart attack a couple days ago, and I was talking to his wife, and she's like, He snores. He gets up like 5 or 6 times a night to pee. I said he's probably not really. He doesn't really have to pee, but he's waking up because he stops breathing. And then as long as you're up, you go, "Oh, I may as well pee." And this is hypoxia at its worst. When people have obstructive sleep apnea, they are dropping oxygen levels dramatically numerous times an evening. And you said, Joel, you don't want this to happen at night. So what happens when you have obstructive sleep apnea and you have high nitric oxide levels as well because of supplementation?
A whole lot's going on. So one thing to consider is that metabolism is diurnal in nature, and the body runs on a 24-hour clock, and that clock dictates activation of genes at specific times. And so a very big cancer promoter is hypoxia during what would normally be life-extending processes. So normally, under normal conditions, you've got adequate oxygenation. You've got activation of certain genes like AMPK and the sirtuin family. And those all happen at certain times during sleep. And you get induction of essentially the trash truck comes by, cleans the cells out, autophagy. All these really great things happen. And those are good life-extending, life-promoting things. The converse happens when there's not enough oxygen. And it's really mediated by a couple of proteins. It's called hypoxia-inducible factor, and it comes in a couple of forms, hypoxia-inducible factor 1, hypoxia-inducible factor 2. And what we see with these proteins, particularly in adipose tissue, is that they have opposing roles, and they tend to spin up immune cells. So our immune cells, our macrophages, tend to work with different types of hypoxia-inducible factor, and it can be pro-inflammatory or anti-inflammatory. But what you see is that in the presence, or rather in the lack of oxygen, a bunch of things start to happen. So with respect to cellular pathways, metabolic pathways like the AMPK pathway, without oxygen, that becomes a cancer promoter. And then what you see is without oxygen, you get the wrong form of hypoxia-inducible factor within adipose tissue, and that affects macrophages and immune cells and creates a more pro-inflammatory environment. And then the introduction of excess nitric oxide, what you start to see is the presence of superoxide with nitric oxide. And then that forms excess peroxynitrate. And then peroxynitrate really just, you can go down tissue by tissue and it just does nothing good. You find it contributes to Parkinson's. You find behind every cancer there's peroxynitrite, every single one. In fact, it may be one of the underlying foundational causes of cancer is peroxynitrite. So it's just really, like if we're going to stack rank, you know, quote unquote, the problem and what do? Then we got to begin to look at excess production of nitric oxide together with the presence of superoxide. And those two together are a really, really bad thing.
And we have people in our population that are producing a lot of nitric oxide without any supplementation, or is this relatively new phenomenon because everybody's taking super beets and some nitric oxide precursor because they're told it's going to lower their blood pressure and make them train harder?
Well, I think you see a little bit of both. I mean, what I see a lot of, the population that I deal with a lot is kind of more the mainstream. And I used to be in the camp of, hey, the number one thing we got to fix is the gut line. That's the number one thing. But
right.
I've been working with a couple of dentists that are really into this, into the hypoxia thing during sleep. And the more that I'm looking at this thing, that's really the number one thing that you've got to fix first. And so across the board, what you'll see is hypoxia during sleep issues. And those are related to the airway and other things. But then right behind that, I would offer is sort of the excess stimulation of nitric oxide out of where it should be. And where it should be is kind of like, you know, in and around exercise. That's kind of a natural place for it. But really promoting nitric oxide as sort of this thing you've got to have turned on all the time. You're laying the base alloy for the production of peroxynitrate. It can't happen without excess nitric oxide. And so what you're seeing is really a cancer promoter. And I think, personally, what I think is that what you see with a lot of energy drinks is they're just cancer promoters.
Man, that's amazing. I don't think anybody's even talking about that. I mean, plenty of people are starting to talk about excess B6. And you know, there's another thing going on here. I did a show around 2010, 2011, with a scientist who published a paper showing that the use of caffeine and excess stress raises the sensitivity of the heart to things like epinephrine, norepinephrine, adrenaline, basically, to the point where the heart becomes sluggish. It doesn't respond. And you can actually lead a person to a situation where they would be prone to heart failure if other circumstances occur. And so when we think about this for a second, we think about the fact that we're turning up these, nitric oxide, inducible nitric oxide, VNOS, ENOS, they would turn on when we were running away from a threat, a danger. They would also turn on in the presence of these stimulating hormones, adrenaline, norepinephrine, epinephrine, and so on. And so, but these were generally short bursts of time. We didn't occupy our days with these systems turned on, if you will. But today we have these systems turned on all the time. Between the high caffeine consumption and other things that people are using to stimulate themselves today to just get through the day. And now this love affair we have with nitric oxide, I fear that soon we're going to start to see a lot of neurological disorders, cancers, and they're going to be unexplainable until somebody starts connecting these dots that we're talking about right now. Do you think that I'm far off?
I think you're on the money. I think it's already happening. Like if you look in, you know, areas where you see people consuming, you know, 4 or 5 energy drinks a day and gee, that guy got cancer. How odd. I think it's happening right now. When we look at caffeine from coffee, you know, it'd be a very interesting convo with the doctor that you had on the show, because there's a kind of a benefit to coffee, which is the phenolic compounds, which are very, very helpful. But the issue that you're getting into with excess production of nitric oxide is, well, first of all, I think it's probably helpful for the audience just to understand some of the properties of nitric oxide as a molecule. And the first thing to understand is that it nitric oxide kind of sits in between nitrogen and molecular oxygen. It sits in between those two, sort of as an intermediate. And molecular oxygen is thermodynamically, you know, oxidative, but it's not kinetically oxidative, meaning like in the body, it doesn't, the way that it has two electrons in different orbits, so there's not a lot of molecules that it really binds with, and that's why we're able to essentially just even be alive. Nitric oxide sits in the middle of that and nitrogen. And so what nitric oxide has in its favor sort of as a signaling molecule is that it just goes right through cells, and it's got a very large radius. Like a nitric oxide, one single nitric oxide molecule can have a radius of two or three cells around it, and it's got a half-life of about a second. And in that second, the thing is moving at, like, I think it's 400 meters per second. So the thing's moving at like this ridiculous speed, and it can have billions of collisions in a second.
Well, I was just imagining a tornado cutting a path through a forest. You know what I mean?
That's very much what it looks like. It just goes right through cell membranes. It's hydrophobic. It doesn't like water. It just goes right through the cell membrane. And so what you can have is you can have superoxide produced two, three cells away, and nitric oxide produced, you know, essentially like in a whole other universe in terms of an atomic scale, and they can interact.
Right.
And so what you can get is peroxynitrate formation, even though they're not made in the same cell. And that's why nitric oxide in excess can be such a negative thing. It's not the nitric oxide itself. It's the formation of peroxynitrate. And when you go tissue by tissue and look at peroxynitrate, like when you look at heart attacks, what is it that brought the heart attack on? It was excess peroxynitrate in that moment. It spun up a millionfold and boom, you died. When you look at stroke, why did the stroke come on? It was excess peroxynitrate in that moment. It spun up a millionfold, and boom, you got a stroke.
Really? So these ischemic events are triggered. The first domino is this peroxynitrate. It's not necessarily. I mean, it can be an occlusion, right? A stenosis in a blood vessel or something like that. But is the peroxynitrate what goes wrong, and then that little stenosis turns into a complete blockage?
It's the spinning up in excess of peroxynitrate, and peroxynitrate is just so toxic to molecules in general that it would take a tissue by tissue discussion to kind of look at what it does in every tissue. But you know, your base alloy is events where you have a lot of superoxide production, and there's a bunch of nitric oxide already present, and then when that happens, a lot of bad things can happen, and it's you know, when you look at every cancer known, you'll see peroxynitrate.
Wow. What about neural pathologies? Let's circle back here. So we started out talking about B6 metabolism and its role in either excess or not enough producing some of these same symptoms of neural pathologies. Does nitric oxide do anything like demyelination, or does it, can it also contribute to, because with it, it's thought that, in fact, there was a study I read about 4 years ago where they were actually using PDE5 inhibitors in multiple sclerosis, because the thought was that the presence of nitric oxide, neuronal nitric oxide, would stimulate remyelination. But is that misguided?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one. That's a really interesting question. The thing with nitric oxide to understand is that we used to think that it was like this, you know, free radical, and by definition of free radical, it's bad. But again, you can make nitric oxide in the brain for 80 plus years and have, you know,
no problem,
completely healthy brain. Yeah, no problem whatsoever. It's not the nitric oxide. It's the excess production of nitric oxide in the presence of superoxide. That's the problem. That is, if we were going to look at, well, what are we going to do to make sure that doesn't happen? Well, the number one thing I would do is I would make sure I don't have chronic excess production of nitric oxide going on. That's what I would do, me personally.
Right. And then, but the other thing is inflammation. You know, I've been taking very low doses of melanotan 2 because of its ability to actually reduce tissue inflammation on wide scale on the body. In fact, I wrote a blog post a few years ago about a study that showed that melanotan 2 supplementation actually reduced intimal inflammation and caused plaque to be reabsorbed. And that, you know, and reality is I lay in the sun at every opportunity. I am so dark right now that people tell me that they didn't recognize me when they first see me again. And I'm okay with that because I believe that we evolved under the influence of the sun and then we just left it behind because of all this nonsense of skin cancer. Skin cancer comes from your diet and the things that you're depositing in your skin that react with sun. But sun isn't the reason for skin cancer, it's your diet. But with that being said, what role does being in the sun and stimulating the melanocortin system, which seems to have a profound effect on reducing whole body inflammation, which I have to believe it's going to reduce ROS as well. Do you think that there's any magic in sun exposure?
Man, that's a really good question. And you might have to fill in some of the, you've been looking at the melanocortin system more than I have. So you'll have to fill in some blanks for me here, but so the one thing to think about with regard to sun exposure is the effect of light-mediated iron reactions. And light-mediated iron reactions in complex 4 and with what's called the Fenton reaction. That's the hydroxyl radical reaction, but you can also get the same reaction from peroxynitrate-induced free radicals downstream of that. The carbonyl radical will do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's the idea that light comes through, penetrates the skin, hits iron, and if there's a free radical in sight or a very specific kind of free radical, then you can get DNA damage of different kinds. But that can be ameliorated and prevented, number one, through diet. So that if you have the right types of things in your diet, you can actually neutralize those types of free radicals.
Right.
One example would be honey, like honey. What is it? There's a specific type of honey.
Manuka? Is it the Manuka honey
from
Manuka. New Zealand?
Yeah. Manuka honey.
New Zealand.
Yeah. Manuka honey scavenges peroxynitrate. And by virtue of that, scavenges some of the downstream free radicals of that. There are certain types of fibers that have compounds that scavenge the hydroxyl radical. So it's not necessarily the sun, it's the redox balance while you're in the sun.
Mm, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. But then in terms of light-mediated nitric oxide, yeah, absolutely. So that's one of the benefits that we see of sunlight is natural sort of release of nitric oxide related to diurnal rhythms. And that's not a bad thing at all.
Right.
So if you're getting sun exposure, you're getting endothelial vasodilation coming from nitric oxide during the sun, that's not a bad thing at all. But when you take that same thing and you get all this sort of vasodilation at night, well, that's usually related to hypoxia.
Interesting. And, if nitric oxide is a signaling molecule, you know, I think you and I first talked about this at Quest years ago when I had suggested that vitamin D is a daytime hormone, the way melatonin is a nighttime hormone, right? And so there's people who take vitamin D at night, and I believe that's inappropriate. That's sending a signal to your body, wow, we must have just been in the sun because we've got this flood of cholecalciferol coming in. And so I'm starting to understand that there is a diurnal relationship to every single thing we do and every single thing we eat, the time that we eat, the appropriateness of what we are supplementing with. These things must be observed. It's one of the reasons why I've always thought the carb backloading approach to dieting is a very, very bad idea unless you want to develop insulin resistance. Trying to leverage insulin's ability to store glucose, glycogen in the muscles at night is the whole purpose for carb backloading. You know, I just personally think that's just silly. And I know there's a lot of people out there who will tell me, yeah, but I got great results with carb backloading. You know, cancer makes people lose weight. I mean, you can get ripped abs if you get cancer, but who the hell wants cancer just to get ripped? You know what I mean? So I'm starting to really understand, the more I look at evolution, the more I look at the human condition, the more I understand about the appropriateness of the introduction. In fact, I got to tell you something. Since I have been experimenting with, and when I say low dose, I'm taking 15 to 25 micrograms of melanotan 2. I get no nausea. I get no arousal and libido. I don't even get flushed. And the tan has come on, but it's come on over the course of some months now. But I have been sleeping deeper. And the reason I think that's true is I'm taking it first thing in the morning when I take it, and my body's going, wow, we must have just been in the sun. This must be the locomotive period. This is daytime. And so I'm actually helping my circadian rhythm by taking it first thing in the morning. I have a funny feeling that people who suffer from sleep disorders related to their exposure to daylight and climate could correct that by taking very, very low doses of melanotan 2, probably 10 micrograms, because melanotan 2 is 1,000 times stronger than melanocortin stimulating hormone. 1,000 times. So 10 micrograms would be like being out in the sun all day long.
Wow. Yeah, it's funny you say that, Carl. So I've got this book I'm finishing up right now, and hopefully have it out this year. And I referenced you in the book a couple of times, and what you just mentioned was one of the things that's really stuck out in my brain. So I remember that convo years back at Quest, and you and I were just kind of in a room talking, and we were talking about vitamin D, and you said, well, you know, it's, I really don't think you should be taking it at night, and you kind of went through it. And it really stuck in my brain. And one of the chapters in my book really speaks to the clock, and that there's a time for everything, and that this really is a new language, a new way to think about things, and that what we've done up to this point has really been a lesser version of a greater thing, which is we really can't talk about anything being good or bad until we really put it in its proper time and its proper
right.
Place.
There is, you know, we talk about things being good and bad, right? You know, well, a lot of these things are good when they are appropriate for the situation, and they're bad when they're not.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's neither this. They're neither good. They're neither bad. It's all about the context of when we do them and fitting them into diurnal rhythm. And so, you know, getting back to the nitric oxide conversation, there's definitely a place for nitric oxide. It's not bad. It's not even as a free radical very reactive at all. It's really situations and contexts that promote excess nitric oxide, and when that reacts with superoxide, now that's a real problem. And so, what we're seeing today are these scenarios where we as consumers are kind of helping things down that road in total ignorance of how the body really works. And that's not a good thing. So, you know, working on 24/7 nitric oxide stimulation is the stupidest thing we could do. That's a cancer promoter. And who knows? I mean, who knows what the effects of this show will be? Maybe it will wake a lot of people up.
I'm going to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up this discussion. We're talking with Joel Green. If you want to harness his brilliance, go to his website, veep.com. Sign up and learn how to eat properly for your goals, whatever that could be. If your goals are to stay youthful, if your goals are to train harder, if your goals are to get rid of digestive issues, you can do it all at that website. He's been featured on the Dr. Phil Show. It's an amazing product. Joel is a genius. And being able to harness his mind is one of the greatest gifts he could give you. Check out the website. We'll be right back. What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm, and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, That's EFXSports.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
74% of Americans are living with digestive issues. They take pills and potions to mask the symptoms but never address the root cause. Introducing GI Ultramax Pro, a complex of scientifically substantiated all-star ingredients that reestablish your gut's operating system, allowing you to be better shielded against the bad actors in your food and environment. The gut is complicated, and it takes GI Ultramax Pro to deliver real long-lasting results. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the GI Ultramax Pro banner ad or visit MotherEarthLabs.com and use code SHR for free shipping.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N Labs.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Joel Green. So, Joel, I just dawned on me. What does nitric oxide do to the mitochondria, if anything?
That's probably the most important question out of the whole show.
I knew that. I almost forgot to ask it, actually.
Yeah. So when we look at aging, you can kind of reduce aging down to a couple things. You could say that aging is the result of non-enzymatic lipoperoxidation of the phospholipid bilayer, and then the result of free radical-induced damage of the inner mitochondrial membrane. That's kind of aging. And when you look at, well, what's the free radical that's doing the damage? It's the one that's doing the most damage is when you get excess production of nitric oxide within the mitochondrial membrane in the electron transport chain, together with superoxide. When that happens, you'll get a rapid production of peroxynitrate, and then you're forcing the cell to make a few decisions. The cell has to keep up with the repair, and if there's too much peroxynitrate, then it's just got to kill it, and so it's got to go into apoptosis. And when you see that at a sort of a chronic thing, you know, like a little bit of constant peroxynitrate formation, so when we level up to kind of what a school of thought is right now, and there's kind of the mitochondria is the problem with everything school of thought. It's the reason for cancer, blah, 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 all those things. When you look at the underlying cause of that, it's peroxynitrate formation.
Man, this peroxynitrate is like a really bad actor that we need to get under control.
It's the bin Laden of free radicals.
Oh, man, I love that. That's pretty cool. It's the Bin Laden of free radicals. Okay. So this is we need to go to war against peroxynitrate formation in the body.
Oh yeah, the biochemistry is mind-boggling when you get into it. I mean, mind-boggling. Like this stuff comes easy to me, and I just shut down when I get into it. Like, it's mind-boggling.
Right.
When you get into like all of the different types of ways that peroxynitrate damages tissues. Creating cysteine residues and what those things do, and you know, all these different ways that tissues are damaged by peroxynitrate. But the mitochondrial issue is probably the one that would be most relevant to kind of really take an extended look at, because the mitochondria are so important to so many processes, including, you know, keeping us young and healthy and looking good. And we've looked at free radical damage in the mitochondria kind of, you know, for a while. But what really hasn't happened is no one's really elucidated, like, really the main villain in the show. You know, we've looked at, well, the problem is just that we've got, you know, a lack of this or a lack of that, and therefore we just need to let glutathione and superoxide do their thing. But it's really not that. It's really excess production of peroxynitrate within the mitochondria as sort of the underlying cause of mitochondrial dysfunction. You know, I would go that far to say that.
Let's put a bow on this discussion. The relationship between peroxynitrate and B6 clearly elucidated, if you could just do that. Is there any connection?
I think there is, although it connecting the dots is a little bit of a journey. But so when we see, again, what we see with B6 is this paradox that whether you have a deficiency of B6 or you have an excess of B6, the symptoms seem to be the same. We also see that for whatever the reason, inflammation seems to use up B6 at an expanded rate, and we see B6 deficiency wherever we see inflammation. And we can also see the symptoms of B6 deficiency with excess B6. So if we take a practical, tactical example, like energy drinks, where we're loading the body up with B6, and we're getting this sort of perfect storm of inflammation, we're getting too much B6, so we're seeing the effects of B6 deficiency, which is inflammation, and then you have, you know, all the arginine or all these things that are promoting nitric oxide uptake. It could be that we're actually promoting a pro-inflammatory environment through excess B6, and that would be an interesting question. I don't know that that's been looked at.
I kind of feel like if you have. If the problem is excess B6 and quite frankly the wrong form of B6 that they're giving you in fortified foods and energy drinks, and as you point out, B6 seems to be a collaborator with inflammation, and inflammation yields a high degree of oxidative stress, and if you are using things that promote nitric oxide production. And that could simply be your choices of proteins that you're eating that are high in arginine or maybe energy drinks or supplements, or you're taking Super Beet because you saw the commercial. You now have this perfect storm where everything is kind of has one goal, and that is degradation of tissue, and the nerves are going to get caught in that as well.
Yeah, my opinion would be that I think that's going on. With respect to what the research is validated, I think it's still connecting the dots to that. But I think that what I've just anecdotally seen are, you know, I've seen people who have, you know, died of cancer, and what were they doing? They were pounding lots of energy drinks. My suspicion is that I think you're right.
Most of these energy drinks, like I've used energy shots. But I've looked at some of these drinks, like Monster and, you know, all these. And they have like one can is two servings, and each serving is 43 grams of sugar. So one can is 86 grams of sugar, and most people pound a couple of those down. We know that elevating blood sugar promotes inflammatory response. We know that, you know, turning on insulin consistently feeds cancers. We know that the sugar feeds cancers. So when I think that we have a special kind of promoter of disease states that include possibly neural pathologies and cancers and brain malfunctions when we put all these things together with mega doses of sugar and people drink two or three of them a day.
Man, you're right. I didn't even think of that. Man, I think you are right on the money. I think that it's like if you went ingredient by ingredient.
If somebody said, I want to make for a specific reason, I want to make a drink that will increase inflammatory response, will increase tissue degradation, and will increase the ability for cancer cells to take hold and grow. You'd go, here you go. This here, Monster. Drink two of these a day, and you'll have cancer in 6 months. No problem. I mean, really?
Well, you know, I think it would be something very interesting to look at. Because when you go down the list of, you know, things that inflame, well, a lot of sugar. Yeah, that definitely is going to leave you inflamed. What else? And just keep going down the list. It seems to definitely point that way. I would agree with that.
What's going on with you? Do you have any lectures coming up? I know that you speak often and people come and to different lectures. I know that all over California. Anything happening?
Yeah. So I've been deep in the silo underground, doing this book that I'm doing. It's kind of the culmination of about 12 years in the research. And it's really about accessing the same states that the leanest, healthiest, longest lived people in the world have and being able to access those on cue. And I'm really excited about it. So I'm hoping to get this thing done this month. And then I've got I've been doing the book with these seminars called Body Hack, where it's been an interesting process. I will kind of write two or three chapters. I'll go do one of these 2 day seminars that I do. And that will kind of, I'll apply what was written in the book and I'll fine tune it. And it's been this really great process to kind of create the book. And so I think I've got one more coming up in October, that I'm going to do in Southern California. And I'm excited to, get the book out prior to that one and hopefully do a much bigger push. The really cool thing was I haven't done any marketing for these things. They were pure word of mouth and the turnout's been really great. So I'm going to actually do quite a bit of marketing to this next one and see how it goes.
We're actually talking about bringing you to Louisville, Kentucky and doing one of them here. So we're working on that now, actually. So those of you who listen to the show that are within driving distance of Louisville, you may have an opportunity, possibly in like October, August, September, October, to come here and listen to Joel speak. And I promise you it'll be worth your time.
We'll crush it. I will dial back on the nerdy bio speak. Today's show was heavy on it because the nerdy topic, but hey.
But our audience wants to learn. Our audience wants to elevate their knowledge. They're not interested in the dumbing down Dr. Oz approach. Well, these balloons represent, you know, fat cells. No, fat cells are fat cells. Let's talk about them. You know, it's like.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate that about your audience because it's the only place where I can come and just like unleash all this stuff. Everywhere else, it's got to be, you know, cloaked in these like sort of, you know, simplistic metaphors.
You know, I got to thank Ron Penna for that because he was like, you know, you need to treat your show like more like a private club. It's not for everybody. You know, the idea of trying to make it palatable for everybody, you're going to lose the magic. And this show favors the person who hears a word and looks it up and adds it to their vocabulary. This show does not favor people who go, after listening to something for 3 minutes, I don't understand that. I'm going to turn it off and, you know, and put on an old episode of Friends instead. If you're not constantly learning, you're stuck. And information is the new selection pressure. And so if you're not constantly learning, you are going to be deselected and your genes will be gone because what will happen is either your children or their children will get sick and die before they can have children because you're following the wrong information and you're getting, you know, I mean, kids are getting chronic diseases at 12 and 8 years old, breast cancer and colon cancer. Those kids will not have children. Those are gene lines erased from the gene pool. We're having the same effect today as the plague, except the plague did it in 3 months and it's happening two generations now. But there is a thinning of the herd here on the planet, and it's all because of where you get your information from. If you believe popcorn is a great thing to eat before bed at night because they said so on the Today Show, good luck to you. And so if you and so the people who are want to stay dumbed down and they want somebody to draw a picture of a balloon and say, well, this is a cell and popping it and going, that's apoptosis. No, we're going to teach you what apoptosis is. We're going to teach you, but you have to be willing to elevate your knowledge and come with us, you know, look a word up here and there and include it in your vocabulary, use it, become smarter, because that's the only way we do this. We can only knowledge is where selection pressure is today.
You know, it's so funny, Carl. Man, we could do a whole show on that, but just a little anecdote here. There was a book jacket I looked at the other day, and it was a book talking about what we're in right now, which is the fourth industrial revolution. And it was talking about how the industrial revolution, you know, had a net, and the net of that was industrialization, mechanization. The information age had a net, and the net of that was the internet and smartphones. The net of the fourth industrial revolution will be the useless class. It will be people that just don't really, you know, everything's taken care of by artificial intelligence. You were an attorney, but now we've got an AI that does that just as good. So really, it's like you say, it's forcing selection pressure to dial up your expertise, your knowledge, your ability to take this stuff and apply it in a useful way that no one else has figured out how to do.
Well, I did a whole rant a week or so ago. I had a half hour to fill. And I talked about the fragmented thought as a result of smartphone devices and social media and apps. And we have a population today that if they don't get a push notification, they don't do anything. They're like Pavlovian dogs. And their ability to think long term has been hampered because their ability to tackle goal type thinking and work from point A to point Z is gone because they're so used to being interrupted by a text message, a push notification, you know, somebody liked their picture on Facebook that nobody actually sits and thinks long term anymore. Well, nobody, but the younger generation is actually at great risk of this. And what's going to happen is we're going to have people, maybe 50 years from now, that have a device in their hand that says it's time to wake up, it's time to eat breakfast, it's time to turn on channel 6, it's time to go into the store, it's time to do this. They're going to get push notifications. They won't have to do anything, any thinking at all. And that, listen, people are going to go, oh, Carl, that's ridiculous. Well, I had to read 1984, George Orwell's 1984, in sixth grade. And everything in that book has happened. Think about that.
You know, it's interesting you say that. So Huxley and Orwell traded letters. In fact, if you look at the back of Brave New World, Huxley had a letter that he wrote to Orwell, and he said, in the future, tyrants won't use armies. They'll use infant conditioning. And it's a form of conditioning where you don't think for yourself. You just simply defer to what an authority figure tells you. And so what it is, it's just a protracted way of taking a three-year-old's way of looking at the world and just keeping it going. So where now the dad becomes, you know, the authority figure. And you see, but what you see today is that. You see deference to thinking to well, what's the authority figure tell me? What's he say? I don't know. That's what the authority figure tell me. And what we see a lot of nowadays is mind control in the form of word memes.
Yeah, I said it. I called it mind control. I said, oh, everybody wants to tune out now. Carl is not wearing an aluminum hat, but it is. When you send someone a message and they react to it, you have just controlled their mind for a short period of time. You controlled their reaction.
When you control, it's very easy to understand. Like, and there's a lot of active mind control nowadays, and it's simply when you can control the words that another person uses, then you can frame how they think. And when someone else is using the words you picked, then they're not thinking for themselves. I have a test I like to do with people called the Frederick Douglass test. And Frederick Douglass, I'm sure you know who he was. You know, he was a slave and, you know, very famous figure. And there's a letter that he wrote to his former master, and you can go look it up and read it. And it's beautiful. It's this incredible, I think it ought to be required reading for everybody, because here's a guy who had no education. He was a slave, and then he self-educated himself. And I just like to give this to people and go, tell me if you're track with this. And most people, today have a hard time tracking with the depth and complexity of thought of a self-educated man who was freed from slavery.
Right.
Because his thoughts are so brilliant and so complex and so the words that he's using are so powerful. And it's just an interesting sort of like check of like, wow, like this used to be how people talked. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that is another show. We have to pull the plug. The website is Veep, VEEP.com. You can sign up there and you can use Joel's brain to help you understand nutrition better. And it's so simple. You literally select the foods you like and the software on his website assembles everything where it belongs. It shows you how to eat foods that prepare you for the next meal so that you can leverage fat loss. I mean, it's really brilliant. So check that out. Joel, we'll have you back on soon. I'm sure we're going to have lots of questions as a result of this discussion today.
Thanks for having me on, Carl.
It's always fun. It's always fun. Thanks for spending my birthday with me, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you right tomorrow. That's all for today. I'm going home and eating dinner with my daughter and my principessa. We'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.